are listening to the New Mamas Podcast. Hello, everyone. We've got Nikki on the pod today from Moms of the Night, right?
Yes, you got it.
Okay, in my brain, I was like, Moms of the Night. Like, it sounded like kind of like creepy, but like sexy, because, you know, like the whole like sexy dark fairy stuff is Yes, yeah. I was like, Moms of the Night.
Honestly, when I came up with the name for it, I was a little nervous that people were going to think it was something like sexual or weird.
No, it doesn't sound like
really,
that at all. I'm
it
just
was
being
just
silly.
Moms who are up at night, like crying in their rooms, needing some mom companionship.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Like the nursing at 3 a.m. Moms of the Night, guys, is nursing at 3 a.m., not sexy moms. Although if you want to be sexy and nurse, it's cool.
Hey,
do you?
All the power to you.
Nikki, how old are your kids?
So my son is 2, almost 2.5, and my daughter is freshly 9 months. So we are in the thick of it, but it's beautiful chaos.
I love it. And I don't know how much you know about me. I'm the same. I have a son.
Yeah.
He's 3.5. And then my daughter is 4 months old. So
yeah, you're living that like transition to 2 life. How is it treating you now? I mean, 4 months, like you're really, people are expecting you to be bounced back, but let's be honest, that's not the case.
I was just working on an Instagram like reel this morning. I didn't post it, but I'll post it tomorrow, of like 4 months is like such a strange period. Like my body is not, like my belly has gone down, obviously, from giving birth. But like, it's still not back to normal. And not that I like need to, I'm not participating in like bounce back culture at all.
Yeah,
but
no.
it's more so like, I want to feel like things are in their corrective location.
Right.
No?
I actually struggled the most probably 4 to 6 or 7 months because the society perception of that is that you have your life back together. And I was like, no, I'm back to work. I'm still not sleeping. We're still trying to figure out this. How do we utilize 2 parents, 2 kids, a dog? Like, we're still figuring things out, but everyone has kind of gone on to their own lives. Like, they forget that you had a baby because you're 4 months in. Like,
Oh,
you
yeah,
should be
because
fine.
The novelty of newborn like wore off.
Yeah, is gone. And that was like, I call it the invisible mom, because it's like, that's what I felt. I have felt completely invisible in that time. So I see you. Welcome.
Thank you for seeing me. And
yeah.
you run your own marketing agency. Is that what I've learned about you?
I actually quit my job of 10 years in January and launched my own marketing agency supporting women-led small businesses and mostly in the motherhood space. So I just love supporting mamas, clearly. And
January
decided
of
to take
this
my
year?
Talents. Yeah.
Whoa, congratulations, girlfriend.
So funny thing. I said to my husband, I cannot have any more children because I birth a business every time I birth a baby. When my son was born, I launched a photography business. And when my daughter was born, I launched this agency. So
I love it.
No more.
I think there's something, so I can relate a lot with that. So we have similar backgrounds. I started off as a photographer, videographer, blogger, kind of like one thing led to another. I wanted to
totally.
And so it all kind of like co-mingled, and I had my own with my husband, our own agency. And then COVID hit and we were shooting weddings. We were doing great. I was doing portrait work. Like, business was ramping up. Woo. And then COVID, like everything,
lovely.
Like every story, COVID just killed the photography and videography stuff. So then I pivoted and got full time back into corporate. My husband got he also went into, not corporate, he's a teacher, but he got like a full-time job. So, but then when I had my son, that's when I started my podcast, same thing, because I don't know. I feel like the creative juices, like something in your body and mind and spirit, like turns up the dial. And I'm like, I'm feeling, I have no time and no sleep, but I am extra motivated and creative.
What is it? Yeah.
I don't know.
I felt the same way.
I love to hear that.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. And you know what? I'm the type of person, well, actually, I didn't used to be this way. You'll hear this in my story. Very type A, very like loves to have control. And through everything I've gone through in the last 4 years, I have really had to learn to release every bit of control in my life, and especially in motherhood. And, you know, deciding to make this leap was extremely scary, but I was in a place in my life where I was like, well, I have control over nothing else, so we might as well just like take caution to the wind and see what happens.
YOLO.
Which is so against my nature, but here we are.
So twinning, I'm also really type A and like struggle with control issues.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, like right now, oh, yeah. It's like, well, he's almost four, so not 3.5 is inaccurate. Food right now, I'm really trying to let go Ooh. Control of like the eating part because I'm really into yes. nutrition. And sometimes Same. My brain, like, I'm like, you need to eat a freaking vegetable today. Like, you need to eat one freaking slice of apple, like a bite yeah. of broccoli. You need something or you're going to die. Like, you can't just survive on yep. carbs and cheese and PBJs. Like, you can't. So
we're in the same boat, girl.
Right. But I have to remember, like, so my husband, he was raised on like a very poor nutritional diet mm-hmm. and he's alive and well and has a PhD. So I have to remember, I'm like, they live. It's
yeah,
okay.
They'll be okay. That yeah. has been actually one of the hardest things for me to like. I'm also very into nutrition. We live a like low tox lifestyle, push yep. for all those things. And I've really had to figure out like controlling what I can control. So my cereal. My son is in a very big cereal phase right now. And I'm like, okay, so if we're going to do this, we found like the cereal that has only a few ingredients, got some protein in it. I'm like, okay, go nuts. Like, if you want cereal, this is the best I got for you.
Ooh, which one is that?
We do the Three Wishes because Ooh. It's got like very, very low, if not any sugar. And it's, I can't remember what it's made out of, but it's a protein source. So he likes that, and that is our compromise. And that's what we
good.
do.
Little mom yeah. win there. I love it.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just going to say you take any wins you can get.
Oh yeah. Even like this, my son took a bite of at a birthday party of all places. All the other kids were like filling their plates with like carrot sticks. I want carrot sticks. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea, trying not to make a big deal. And he took a
Yeah.
bite of carrot and I was like, I like looked like a psychopath. I like looked at all the other moms, like my mouth was open, big smiles, like, oh my god, he had a bite of carrot. So, and then of course I go out and buy like the biggest Costco size of baby carrots I could find, and he goes,
oh yeah,
I don't like carrots.
Yeah, been there.
LOL. So I definitely want to learn more about you. In your
Yeah.
email, you discuss like a big part of your story is navigating grief mm-hmm. while also entering motherhood. And excuse me, because I forget, when you experienced the challenges with your mom and when mm-hmm. you first learned of her diagnosis, were you pregnant with your first or with your second?
So that is where things get interesting. I went through the day after my first miscarriage. We were not, hadn't had any children yet. First started trying. The day after my first miscarriage, my mom got sent to an oncologist. So it was my entire pregnancy experience, fertility and pregnancy experience with my son was during her diagnosis, being her caretaker, and then her passing. So,
wow. So let's unpack that a little bit. You
yeah.
had your it was your first loss, your first pregnancy loss, miscarriage. Mm-hmm. How did you feel? Like, you mentioned you weren't trying, like, because I know
yeah.
a lot of women, it's like a spectrum of what based
yes.
on belief systems and, you know, what they feel. So how was that loss for you?
You know, it was really interesting because my husband and I had just gotten back from our honeymoon. And like mm-hmm. I said, we weren't really trying or anything, but we also weren't protecting. We know how these things work. We were just like, if something happens. We went on our honeymoon, didn't think anything of it that I could possibly be pregnant. Continued, you know, enjoying beverages and just living life. And It was when we got home that I started to feel really sick and felt off. And I thought I had just gotten a bug from the honeymoon and found out that I was pregnant. And we were super excited. And, you know, a few weeks later, it was around Christmas, and we went and told my parents. Like, we just, you know, that first pregnancy, I feel like there's a beautiful naivety that comes with it. Like, you just really embrace it. I had no problem telling everybody. It was totally fine. And then Christmas Day, I started bleeding, and I just knew, like, I knew in that moment, I was like, this is it. And I had known about miscarriage before, but really didn't have any idea what to expect with that. You know, went to the emergency room with my husband, my mom, and my sister, and went through that entire process. And what that felt like for me, it was really shocking. You know, I think you hear about miscarriage and you don't think it can happen to you. Like, it's just one of those things you hear about. Knowing now what I know then, that seems like a really naive statement. But because we know that, you know, it happens to one in four of us. But it felt really defeating. But I honestly, I think at that time, I didn't have a lot of fear around it yet. Because it was just like, oh, okay. Like, I guess that happened. It happened really fast. It happened in a blink of an eye. I guess we'll just start trying again. And so every loss experience for us, I've had three and they were consecutive, was very different. I think it was the second one that really hit us the most, because that was like, oh, it happened again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a few months after we had gotten pregnant in February. So just 2 months after our first loss. And that one was much further along in the pregnancy. We had seen the heartbeat, had a lot of anxiety with it, but just not the way that I did going forward. And that one really, really broke us. It was extremely defeating. We had just really thought that was going to be the one. Like, they had basically told us, oh, we saw a heartbeat, so you shouldn't have anything to worry about, which I think was not great advice to tell people who have gone through loss. And so we didn't know any different. And navigating the grief of that alongside also my mom's recent cancer diagnosis at the same time, it was a lot of loss of what life could be in that moment, because you don't mourn just the loss of life and mourn the diagnosis. You mourn what you had envisioned life to be like, or what you thought it was going to be like in the future.
I'm going to pause. My baby just woke up. Can you hear?
Okay. Yeah. No, you're good.
Of course.
Of course.
BRB.
Yeah. Sounds good. Don't worry about it.
No. Mommy's podcasting. Okay, you want to eat? Are you hungry? You're just gonna be awake. All right, let's just be awake.
What a sweetie!
I know. I was gonna ask if you miss it, but you have a 9-month-old, so you're like,
you know, though I do. Like, I feel like those really tender early months go by so fast. And while I love like the phase she's in right now, it just, you do, you miss like that like super fragile innocence of those sweet little babies.
Yeah, it's like sick, because I see like videos of newborns and I'm like, oh, I miss it. Even though like, yeah, when you go through it, you're like, oh my God, get me out of here.
But, know. Isn't that weird? Ugh.
Yeah.
Our bodies are just like, they just crave those babies.
Yeah. Jumping back in to your story. Thank you for sharing. I'm so sorry that happened to you. And like you said, you're not just mourning the loss of life, but you're mourning, it's almost like when you get pregnant, your entire life or their entire life flashes before your eyes of birthdays and things you want to buy and baby showers and things, just things you're excited about. Like your belly, the comments on like, you're like, oh, I can't wait for people to like tell me I look cute pregnant, like stupid things. So I understand. And then I also understand a lot of, some women don't experience a lot of, oh, 1 second. Here's a boob. so then you mentioned that, The wire is like hitting her in the face. I think that's why she's annoyed.
This is mom mode accelerated right here.
This is straight up mom mode. And I used to have like a boom arm like yours, but my desk is like too shallow to accommodate the clamp. So I had to get this thing. And it sucks because I have to like lean into it. And like my mic sounds great when I talk like really right into it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, thank you for sharing your loss. You mentioned that you had three, but the second really broke you.
Yeah, that was, it was just a lot. It was, you know, once you go through it yet again, it is a smaller percentage of people that recurrent pregnancy loss happens to. And it's not just the fact that you had the loss, it's the what now? Because you start questioning, like, is this going to be possible for us? Will we ever have a successful pregnancy? What is actually wrong with my body that I can't do this again? And unfortunately, our medical system, unless you advocate extremely hard, is not set up to give you any sort of answers until you've had three losses. So that was extremely frustrating. And already dealing with advocating for my mom, it was just like so draining physically, mentally, emotionally. So we were navigating a lot. And at that point, I was just like, I need a break. I need to focus on what's happening in my body. I need to heal. I need to focus on my mom. And then, you know, a lot of life happened. We ended up moving back to my hometown. You know, COVID was happening at this time, at the same time. So like, what I didn't mention is for my second loss, that happened a week after COVID shut everything down. And so going to the emergency room a week into COVID was terrifying, terrifying, but I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Right. And so, yeah, all COVID was all happening. So it was just a lot to deal with at once. And then in November of that same year, so that would have been 2020, we had a chemical pregnancy. So it was a very quick, like, got a positive. And because especially when you go through pregnancy loss, you serial test and try to get that line darker. It wasn't getting darker. It was getting lighter, and then ended up bleeding a few days later. And I was just, yeah, you just get to a point where you're just like, what can I do now? It's defeating.
And so while you're going through that, you're also working through your mom's treatment and care. Do you want to walk us through a little bit about that as much as you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah, for sure. I'm a very open book because I felt like I was on an island of my own. Cancer affects so many people, but I think having, you know, a parent that is going through cancer when you're young and you're also entering parenthood yourself is kind of a unique situation. And so she had stage 4 ovarian cancer. So her prognosis was not great. And she went through treatments, and my mom was just like the light of the world. Like, she was the most positive human, had the most amazing support system. She is the reason I am so passionate about community, because she showed me how important it is. And her journey was such a roller coaster. So she got diagnosed in January of 2020. And by 4 months in, she was considered NED, which means no evidence of disease, which puts you in remission from stage 4 cancer.
What?
There's a lot that goes into that. We did a lot of like holistic, natural things alongside her chemo treatments. She powered through chemo. You would never would have guessed that she was going through it. She did end up losing her hair, and she got into wigs, and it was all fun. So we spent an entire summer of her quote unquote cancer free while I was healing. So I feel like that June to August, September of 2020 was really a highlight in our journey of grief. We really got to spend a lot of quality time, heal together. I always say it's so interesting because I felt like we were going through such different things, but our journeys were so paralleled. Like, all of a sudden we were both dealing with a loss of faith in our body, a loss of faith in life, in our belief in a higher power. We had different physical ailments that felt similar because she was going through ovarian cancer and I was, you know, dealing with fertility and pregnancy loss, and somehow found so much comfort in each other's journeys while going through very different things. And then she ended up getting recurrence that same year, later in the year, and things really spiraled from there. And she was in extreme amounts of pain, and she went through another set of chemo that following year in January is when she restarted it. And by March of that year, which was 2021, things just weren't working. Like, it just, things were progressing, things weren't working. At that time, I had found out that I was pregnant with our triple rainbow baby. And that led to my son, Owen. And so throughout his entire pregnancy, it was growing life while trying to keep my mom's life going too. And that was a lot. I mean, I was trying to care for, trying to be present in the moment of being pregnant, finally, like a successful pregnancy. And also just really wanting to focus on keeping my mom alive. Because I never, it's so funny because I say that back when I was a child, I had a really, really strong fear of losing my mom. I don't know what it was, but I just felt like that would be my biggest fear in my entire life. And she lost her dad when she was 12 years old. And then I lost my grandma when I was very young. And so my biggest fear also was that my children weren't going to have grandparents. And so to see the reality of that coming to life while you're also pregnant and trying to enjoy pregnancy was a lot to navigate, to be honest. But yeah, I ended up alongside my dad being her caretaker. And I will say, if anyone's gone through losing somebody to cancer or to a disease that takes you very slowly, it is, I don't even know if I have a word for it. Their entire being starts to change. Their looks change, their sounds change, their smell changes. And this was all happening towards the end of my pregnancy. And then she entered hospice the day that I got induced with my son.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, I can only imagine the roller coaster of emotions that you must have been feeling in those 9 months.
Yeah. It's a lot of, I say this to a lot of people, I've never learned so strongly that two emotions can coexist. You know, it was a fine balance between being so incredibly grateful for this gift of life inside me and also grieving and mourning the life that I was losing at the same time. And to be able to process that at the same time. And when it is such a unique scenario, you do kind of feel like you're on an island of your own because no one can truly understand what that feels like. And especially when it's your mom, I was very fortunate to have the most amazing relationship with my mom. She was my best friend. And so to know that I was going to be entering motherhood without her was heartbreaking, to say the least. And then we got 5 weeks with her when my son was born. And I do feel like I got those early postpartum days robbed from me, because, and gratefully, they live 15 minutes from us. But I was waking up, nursing my son, driving to my mom's place, changing her diapers, feeding her, coming back in time to feed my son. So it was like these parallel experiences then transferred over into caring for a newborn and caring for my mom. And I kind of felt like I was in the twilight zone, to be honest with you. Because yeah, it's like the care of two very fragile beings while also figuring out who I was and how I navigate new mom life.
Right.
And healing myself.
The visualization The way you painted it is so fascinating, that birth of life, the beginning of life, and then that transition into the end of life. And I'm sure you only had like a lot of existential questions and thoughts and feelings. What did those conversations with your mom look like around the end of her life? Did she process that she was going to pass? Was she, did she mourn? Did she go through grief? And how did you process that?
Yeah, you know, that that is something that I actually have some really big regrets about. And I know I shouldn't, but I'll explain. Because she was so positive, and also because she knew that I was this new mom, she treaded very lightly with me. And we never talked about her life ending. We never talked about her not being here. And I actually have a lot of regrets about that. If there's anybody who is maybe experiencing this right now, I wish I could go back and I could have talked about the end of life, and I could have asked her questions about what life was going to be like without her in it. I think she knew. She knew it was the end, but she wanted to protect me from that. And so, and I also, she feel like because I was trying to be positive for her, she felt like that's what I needed. And you know what? I probably did at that time. I don't know how I would have handled it for her to talk about what life was going to be like without her. I know based on conversations with my aunt that they talked a lot about what was next. So I'm glad that she was able to have those conversations. I just wish I would have been able to, because I would have had a lot of questions.
I can only imagine that now, like as moms and trying to put ourselves in that situation, she was protecting you and being there, and maybe being there for you, like gave her that purpose. And
yes,
like maybe she needed that too. Like she didn't,
yeah,
she would have rather talked about that stuff with her sister. I get it, but yeah. I also understand where, from your perspective, I mean, it's a hard conversation to have.
Yeah.
It's not a conversation we have. We tread so lightly around loss and death and grief, where a lot of people don't even know how to be there for us when we're experiencing things like that. Now, you know, while you're going through this, did you have any, like, how did people support you? Were there any great examples of how people showed up for you? And then were there any maybe not so great, or maybe advice that we could give of like not what to say to someone going through that?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is we had such a beautiful community of people that I'm so grateful for. My, like I said, my mom was just like this social butterfly that really made friends with everybody she came in contact with. And so people showed up for me just by, you know, showing that they were there. Something that I think maybe doesn't get talked about a lot when situations like this happen in your life is you get really, really sick of the pity. So it's like I almost started shutting myself off from certain situations because the first thing anyone would do would look at me with like, oh, and then go into my life circumstance. And I think at that point in my life, I just wanted to feel normal again. Like I wanted to feel like people saw me past my circumstances, and that didn't happen very often. And so while, again, two things coexisting, while I was so grateful for people wanting to be there and wanting to learn about what was happening, I was exhausted from people seeing me as like my circumstance and not just as a human. The people that I appreciated the most were the ones that just showed up with food and treated me like it was any other day. Like I would have friends that would come over and they would bring over meals and we would just sit and talk about anything else but what was going on in my life. And even I think sometimes that's important too in postpartum in general, and like, you know, just cancer circumstances aside, is just like sometimes we just really want to feel like you see me and you don't just see me as a mom too. Like, yes, ask about the baby, ask about the birth experience, but ask about my heart. Ask about what's going on in my mind. Ask if I want to go do something that makes me feel like myself. And it was those people that really kind of gave me the support that I was looking for at that time. And everyone might be different in that, but that's really what I needed in that moment. So.
I feel like a good takeaway is maybe point blank asking that person how they want to be supported, because like you mentioned,
Yeah.
so everyone's different. I know when I have had friends experience grief or go through something where they might have needed support, I usually try to ask them, like, do you want someone to
Yeah.
listen? Do you want me to ask, or do you want me to just send you funny memes and distract you? Because then that gives
Yeah.
me permission too to like, okay, when someone says, please distract me with funny memes, I'm on it. Like,
Right.
it's if that's what makes you takes away from your reality for a second, like I'm there. So
Yeah.
thank you for sharing. That is so, it's so interesting to hear. It's just interesting to hear how everybody processes and goes through grief, but I completely understand, even just from the new mom perspective of like, right, ask about the baby and stuff, but I'm also still so much more. I don't know. It's like
Yeah.
conflicting feelings.
Yeah. And that kind of the same went for, my baby shower. It's like things were obviously not going well with my mom at that point, and all of her friends, it was all her friends were that were at my baby shower too. And so while it was supposed to be this day that was so celebratory of this pregnancy, it was more around like, okay, this is like our time to see Judy and our time to be with her when things aren't going well. And I don't blame anyone for that, and I don't blame her for that. But there were just these certain moments where, when certain traumas kind of override these experiences that are super sacred, especially in motherhood, it's hard when they get overshadowed, because you just wanted that moment to feel like, I just want to celebrate this baby. And unfortunately, that circumstance too, like the next day we were leaving for California, I spent 3 weeks in California with her for alternative treatments. That's like a whole nother thing. But so people were, we were kind of preparing for that. But yeah, I think when you try to pair the best moment in your life and the worst moment in your life, you're constantly teetering between how you process those emotions and then how you decide what your needs are, depending on what spectrum you're on.
When your mom passed, your son was 5 weeks, you mentioned.
He was 5 weeks. Yep.
What was that experience like?
Out of body. I mean, seriously. If anyone has ever watched, like physically watched somebody pass, it's a mix of like beautiful and traumatic. Like I think I'm still processing that day, to be honest. My mom was in a hospice bed in the middle of their living room with my family and her sisters around her while I'm nursing a newborn baby and holding my mom's hand, who's taking her last breath. And a few things came up for me. One, and it feels awful to even say this, but you almost have a little bit of resentment towards your circumstance or your baby, because in that moment, I wanted to be a daughter. I didn't want to be a mom. I wanted to focus on saying my goodbyes to my mom and processing that. And that was really hard because I had been waiting for this baby for years. I had finally gotten him. And then now I'm putting this in air quotes, an inconvenience. And that feels awful to say. Now that I'm out of it, and in those weeks following her passing, I actually grasped onto him. He saved me. I truly think, whoever you believe in, I believe in God, but I truly believe God put him in my life at the timing he did, because that was the only way I was going to survive. And he is such a beautiful representation of what we went through and this light inside of him. It's almost like I feel like he's my way I connect with my mom, because a little bit of her went into him when she passed. And his name is Owen Jude, so he's after her name is Judy. And so, every sort of, anyone loses something, you go through all the stages of grief. I went through all of them. I think now. I still do. But going through it as a brand new mom, I had to figure out what motherhood looked like without my mom. I became a mother and motherless in the same breath. And that took a lot of navigating, and the grief felt deeper because those were the moments when I needed her. Like, I almost needed her most. So yeah, it was hard. It's still hard. Now that I have my daughter, I found myself grieving all over again because I see this mom-daughter relationship. And to be honest, I had a really hard time bonding with my daughter at first. And through therapy, we realized that it was likely because I had seen the grief of what a strong bond with a mom looks like, that I didn't want to do that to her, which is something I never thought about.
Wow.
Yeah. But now that I've broken through that barrier, I now utilize it as like, if I can just be an ounce of what my mom was to you, that's all I can ask for.
It sounds like your mom really gave you the gift, even though she is not there, is not here while you are mothering. It's almost like your whole life she showed you how to do it because she was that mm-hmm. for you. That is so special.
Yeah.
And so beautiful.
Yeah. Can I share a story with you too?
Totally.
And everyone can have their own perspectives on this. I had been part of a live medium event, a spiritual medium. And my mom ended up coming through. So you're in a room, a Zoom room with a bunch of random people. And the medium starts calling out certain characteristics of spirits that she is connecting with. And ended up being my mom. Anyway, we connect. She tells me all these things. It could not be more accurate. I was 5 weeks pregnant with my daughter at the time. And I knew I was pregnant. I don't know. I must have been further along because I knew it was a girl. And she said, and my sister was in the room with me. And she goes, is one of you pregnant? Because I'm sensing new life. And your mom's holding a baby. And I was like, I am. And she was like, she's like, do you know what it is, like a boy or a girl? Cause I don't want to spoil anything. And I was like, I do. And she's like, your mom's holding your daughter right now. And she's holding her until she gets to you. And I cry.
I'm like gonna sob. What? I mean, I believe in all that stuff. Like, first of all, like, yeah. So wow.
And that, I can't tell you the peace that has overcome me from that experience, because so many times I'll be mothering and I'll be like, mom, like, do you see this? Like, what would you say? Like, do you see my daughter? And I know that she got to hold her before I did. And that is what keeps me going, to be honest with you.
Okay, bye. That's the end of the interview. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. It was just like, oh, wow. I just like can't stop crying.
Yeah.
I mean, because I believe in God too, and I believe in heaven yeah. and Jesus, and like the thought that like maybe she had a hand in picking out
yeah
your daughter who, like with God, like it just mm-hmm. it's so beautiful.
It is. And if you can, and that's like my whole message to anyone, and honestly why I created this business and this podcast, is that I, through my mom's positivity and through her entire journey and my entire journey, we always said we were going to put this pain to purpose. And that is exactly what this whole thing is. And I think that's exactly what this whole life is and whole motherhood thing is. It's like, there are going to be moments of pain. There are going to be moments of suffering. But are there ways we can put that to purpose and we can find our purpose through it, or we can provide purpose through it? That, I think, is what life is all about. And I've seen literally the circle of life happen before my eyes. And so that's what my life is now. It's finding purpose in all of this and putting purpose to it.
Sorry if I'm rendered speechless. just because this conversation is so deep, and like, let's talk a little bit about like pain and purpose and motherhood. I feel like a lot of moms are born again when
yeah.
they become mothers. Like to me, it feels like, oh, well, obviously you're born again. You're like, you become this whole new person. But just like spiritually, like your purpose yeah. becomes awakened. It's kind of like how we talked about the beginning of the our episode about how we give birth and we have no time and no sleep, but we're starting businesses and our creative, like, I don't know, we're just unleashed. Like, it just feels like motherhood unleashes you. It's such a gift. Like, 10 out of 10 recommend, guys. Like, five stars on Yelp, would recommend to a friend, even when it is hard, because obviously it's hard. Yes. And like, I, even my story, I'm coming on your podcast later this month, and I'll talk about this then. But like, I experienced a lot of, I just think, just like awakenings, especially when I struggled with postpartum anxiety pretty intensely, and then postpartum depression as a result of that. And wow, like being able to heal from that and finally get the help that I needed, probably my entire life, I needed this help. I would have never gotten it if I didn't have my son. And that's scary. Like, that's actually really scary that I could live to, I don't know, whenever I'm meant to live until, and not get the help and not really be able to see clearly and just experience the world as I'm meant to, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just, I don't want to take away from your story, but that piece like really resonated with me, like just the pain, the purpose, the like, the love. And I read this quote the other day. If I find it to you, I'm going to send it to you. It's on Instagram, but basically the end of it, it was a quote. It was like a poem about grief. And the end line was, you know, grief is the price of love, basically. And I was like, wow, those two like parallels. Like,
And people don't often think about them that way. But I think when you can, it does give some sort of purpose to it. Like you get a sense of understanding of maybe why this happens. And I say that with anything as little as something going wrong in your day to monumental trauma, that it just, there is a reason and there is a purpose, or you can find purpose in it. And like you said, motherhood cracked me wide open. My values shifted, my perspective on life shifted. And while it was really hard, it was all in beautiful ways. Like, I would not be who I am today. I would have never made any of these changes in my life had motherhood not been part of my story.
Tell me about your values changing or shifting. Yes. I'm very curious about that. Can you give an example?
Okay, for sure. Well, and I always say I became a mother the minute I saw two pink lines, right? Because you immediately shift your perspective on how you care for yourself, how you care for your body, the direction of your life, how you prepare for that baby. And when that happened to me, and we went through our loss journey, and so like I considered myself a mom even before a baby was in my arms, was that our entire perspective on healthcare changed. What I put in my body, what I exposed my body to, what I exposed my mind to, and how I process things, getting therapy. I knew that if I was going to be the mom I wanted to be, I needed to be the healthiest version of myself. And then once I actually had that baby in my arms, that trajectory skyrocketed, because I was like, okay, now I actually see this life. How do I care for my family and care for our wellness and all of the ways to make sure that I am holding that in a sacred space? And so, like I said, we're very into like holistic and non-toxic living and all of that. And that's a value that shifted. I was living off of Taco Bell in college and microwaving all my meals and staying up till 4 a.m. And, you know, that's just what life was. And now, because of my children, I need to care for myself better. I need to care for them better, because I have to show up for them in a way that, you know, keeps our family moving forward, and show up in a way that they need me. And that's just one thing. And that, I think that can transpire into a lot of different things that, I mean, opinions on, you know, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And like, I mean, we were watching Disney movies the other day, and I was like, I remember watching these as a kid, or, you know, whatever. And I was like, you didn't think anything of it. And then you watch it as a parent and you're like, oh,
You're like, oh, this did not age well. You're
like, I'm like,
Little Mermaid, like Ariel just wanted that D on land. Like, come on, girlfriend. Like, no. Like,
I know no. He doesn't know what is happening, but like, should he be watching
it? But is it like subconscious? Like, are these like images and messages ingrained in us? Like, it's like, are we slowly getting brainwashed? Like, it's crazy. Yeah, I know. I'm like a little bit
and insane. Like all the things that you said you would never do as a mom, and then you do them because life. I mean, I think there's so many ways mom just changes us, and like good and bad. Like sometimes it can be really hard. But I always say the hard leads to beautiful places. Like, I would not be grateful for all these beautiful moments in motherhood if I hadn't struggled, if there weren't really hard moments, because then if everything was always beautiful all the time, what do you have to be grateful for? You don't know any different.
Right. When you lost your mom, was there anyone in your life that sort of stepped into that mother figure for you, like as you had your babies?
That's a really beautiful and timely question, actually. So my sister, I have a half sister that's much older than me, but my biological sister is 5 years older than me. We are very, very, very different people. And I watched her be a mom. She was a single mom. We lived in different places for a lot of our life, after high school, of course. And she ended up moving home after my mom passed away. And in a way, I feel like it was her, because I've never had the relationship that I do with her now. And I don't think it would have been what it is today without the loss of my mom. And it's funny because I think it's all my mom ever wanted for us. And
Was
it
for
didn't
you two to be
happen.
close, like.
Was for, because she grew up with sisters that she was like so, so tight with. And I'm also grateful for them. They have been second moms to me my entire life. So they also feel that for me. But I feel like in a way, my sister filled a lot of voids that I was feeling without having my mom, which is really cool because I didn't think that this would ever be what we have now.
It's interesting that it's almost like a whole new relationship with someone that you've known your entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny how that can happen. And I think that comes with age. But for us, I definitely think it was circumstance.
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably, you know, as moms now, like you have two, I have two. It's what we dream of. I mean, I had this one for, not for Archie, but really so that Archie would have, like my son would have someone, you know.
For sure.
My husband's an only child, and he preferred it that way. No qualms about it. Loved it. But there have been times, even in our marriage, where he has had challenges with his parents, where I said, if you had a sibling that you could just vent to, because, you know, men don't really talk about their feelings with their friends. We're not, it's not like us girls.
Right.
Like, it's like, hey, nice to meet you. By the way, let's talk about trauma.
Yeah, but seriously.
Which is like literally what we're doing now. But like, you know, I want them to be able to have each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and you'll see it like even as she continues to grow. I mean, we're only 9 months into having two, but the bond that they already have and how they start interacting with each other once, you know, she starts being able to coo more and like notice him, it is the coolest thing. The coolest thing. And yeah, there is something about that sibling relationship. But like I said, I didn't know if that was possible for us. And so to be able to like bring that to life in my own children, I can see why my mom always wanted that for us.
That's so special. So let's talk about the birth of your daughter. How was that different? I mean, it's obviously different than the birth of your son, very different circumstances. But tell me, like, talk through, like, how was that different for you?
So it was crazy different because I was 9 months postpartum with my son, and surprise, we're pregnant. And obviously, yes, people, we know how this thing works. She was unplanned. She was not a surprise. She was unplanned. And
well, that's great given, you know, the fertility and, you know, the losses. Like, but of course, it's like, it's not exactly. the timing I know. That and I pictured.
Like, oh my goodness. Like, I'm still
grateful, but oh my God.
My mom had passed away like 8 months ago. Like, I'm still trying to like figure out life and like whatever. So at first it was like very shocking. And then the more and more we got into it, I was like, and it felt more like this blessing from her. To be honest with you, I always wanted kids really close, but I didn't know if I was capable of it. Like, I didn't know if, especially with everything we then went through, but also just like physically and mentally, didn't know if I was capable of it. And I think it was her way of telling me, like, nope, you are, and this is gonna, like, this is your time. And so I really embraced that pregnancy with her because it almost is like I got a redemption. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to experience it again and really be in it and really enjoy it. Granted, I was running around with a toddler, and that's like a whole nother thing when you're pregnant. But I really did enjoy and tried to enjoy like all the moments of it. And then when it came to her birth, again, just like a very redemptive experience. I was so in my body. I was so intentional. And
do you have to be induced again?
I did. And so with Owen, with my first, that was a 32-hour labor and like third degree tear. It was a lot. And you know what? Now that I've learned so much about mind body, I know why it was that way. My mind was like not on that experience. This experience, 8-hour labor, 15 minutes of pushing, really much easier recovery. And again, just like this beautiful thing. And I got to meet this human that, you know, I had envisioned my mom carrying this whole time. And it's so funny because my two kids are so opposite. Like, Owen is very, he's a feeler. And he is just like, he's everything I needed in that first child. He's just like so lovey and whatever. And Lily took all of my mom's spunk and put it in her, to her little 8-pound body. She's just like light. She's a light. She just is spunky and she's energetic. And yeah, she's just, and that's exactly how my mom was. And so it's, again, this like full circle moment of getting that version of her in like baby form. It's so crazy.
So cute.
But yes, the whole like birth part of it just felt like, okay, I get to do this again. So I'm going to make it as beautiful as I can and let go of control and just like be. And it was beautiful. It's beautiful.
I love to hear that. And it sounds like, right, like it was a redemption, like you wanted the second time to be better. And it was.
Yeah.
That's really special.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to. It was beautiful. And I also want to paint like the reality too, that like, then when it came to postpartum again, I had a hard time bonding. And so like, if there's that mom out there, that's like, oh, well, I want like a redemptive birth. I want a beautiful experience. Like, you can have that. And that doesn't mean that you're going to have a bonding issue either. Like, I just feel like there's just so many facets to motherhood that like, I just want to always be careful about how I'm talking about things. Cause isn't that funny? I think I've been conditioned to like talk about how good things can be, but also be sure to put the little disclaimer.
You're like, and it like, was great, but it also sucked. So
yeah, it was great, but you know what, again, when you go through struggle, you're all the more grateful when things are good. And so, mm-hmm. I feel so in love and attached to her now. And I feel like we were meant to have the moments that we're having right now. And so that's okay. You know, when we didn't bond right away, like that's okay. It actually allowed for my husband to have like the most amazing attachment to her. Like, those two are thick as thieves and it's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Oh my God, guys, yeah. I like love that. I love that because
it's so cool.
Can we talk a little bit about bonding? So,
yeah, absolutely.
What was like, how do you know when you're not feeling that bond? Like, when did you know? Like, was it right away? Yeah. Like, were there feelings that you were expecting to have? Was it because you were comparing it to your first, like laying eyes mm-hmm. on your son? Like, walk us through that.
I don't think it was right away I experienced or noticed, because right away I did feel that, like, oh my gosh, I love her. And then, like, we got home, and I think there's a few different ways this goes. One, my son is a mommy's boy through and through, Velcro baby.
Cute.
And so he needed a lot of me. And so logistically and physically,
It's hard.
I actually spent, people say, like, oh, you bring the second home and, like, you're spending so much time with the baby and your toddler. I'm like, it was actually opposite for me. I was spending so much time with my toddler, and, like, yes, I was feeding my baby and all that. That I just, like, was physically drawn away from her a lot more than I thought I was going to be. I also, she had a lot of feeding issues in the beginning, and I didn't feel as in tune with her as I did with my son. Like, I was just like, I don't know how to fix this, and I don't know what my solutions are, and I don't know what's causing this issue. And through, like, advocating, we obviously figured out she had ties and all that. But when you're going through that and you're like, okay, I'm a second time mom and I feel like I should know what I'm doing and I have no idea what I'm doing, I feel like that also plays into that bond, because you're like, I should know you and I don't feel like I know you. I don't feel like I know what to do. And so I think that kind of instilled some, like, failure mentality in me that then created this barrier, and that barrier just kept getting thicker. And I also feel like, because I was still healing with the traumatic events of the last few years, and then she was kind of this, like, unplanned baby, and everything happened so fast. And when you have another, I know you experienced it, when you have another kid and a pregnancy, like, time flies,
Yeah,
flies.
I blinked and I was enormous. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like 37 weeks pregnant. How did this happen?
And so a lot of times it honestly felt like out of body. Like, I picked her up and I'm like, how?
Yeah.
Like,
Wow.
that was, like, my biggest thing. That was when I really noticed, is I was like, I feel like this isn't even real. Like, I feel like you aren't real. And this experience isn't actually happening to me, because so much has happened in this, like, short amount of time. And so that is when I really started feeling it, where I would just, like, pick her up and I would be like, are you even real? Like, it wasn't like I didn't love her or anything. It was just like, I'm just going through the motions.
Like autopilot, yeah.
And to be honest with you, it wasn't until she fully started interacting more, like, I would say around 6 months, she had more milestones and things like that, and I started breaking through some of these barriers through therapy, that I was like, oh my goodness, like, it's like, I feel this. We're now intertwining. Like, you are now, like, I realize you are this extension of me. Life started slowing down a little bit more. Like, we started to get into a flow of things a little bit more. And we started to feel like a mentality of what a family looks like for the four of us. And that is when I was like, oh, cool. This is, like, the coolest thing ever. But for so many months, it was just like, it felt so foreign and so new. And I feel like that kind of is how that lack of bond transpired. And I don't hear about people talk about it a lot that way, but I imagine that I'm not the only one that's experienced it.
No, I think more people have to talk about it. I feel like not most, I think a lot of moms feel that, but then there's also a lot of shame around talking about not bonding with your child, because it's supposed, everyone's like, oh, it's a gift, and it is. It's a gift, it's a blessing. Enjoy these moments, all the things that people say. So it is sh it feels, I'm sure, shameful to say, like, I don't feel anything. And for men too, like, I think that's another thing, gosh, that really helped me, was when my friends' husbands talked about not bonding with their children right away. That helped me, because my husband was the one that had bonding issues. And I don't know, I haven't asked him in a while, but he's just not good at the newborn stage. But it hurts me, because I'm like, this is your child, why don't you love it? So, but it was helpful to hear other dads. I think we just got to talk about it more.
We do. And you know what's interesting is, because I was going through so much with my mom postpartum, my husband never brought up to me that he wasn't bonding with my son. He never really talked about it. And it wasn't until I came forward and was honest with him about how I was feeling with my lack of bond with our daughter that he was like, I didn't really talk to you about this, but I felt that way with Owen. And like, I know exactly what you're going through. And like, it's okay. Doesn't mean, because he's like, look at me and Owen now. Like, look at us now. Like, he's my best friend. And that was so helpful to one, be honest, but like him to be like, I went through this and now look at us. Like, I had a perfect example in front of my eyes to be like, there's nothing wrong with me. I shouldn't feel shame around this, even though I do. Because it's, I know it's coming. It's just not here right now.
Yeah. And right. It will happen. And I feel like sometimes like to get through anything, it's like, okay, this will happen. We just got to get through this portion first.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I realized I just kept you for like over an hour.
I didn't even realize what
are
time
you
it was.
Okay on time?
Yeah, you're totally fine.
Okay. just a little, I think I probably just will have a few more like questions about your experience and then I'll let you go. Yeah, I just love to hear that, you know, honesty and transparency around like the beginnings of motherhood. I feel like it's such a volatile, like vulnerable time for us.
Ooh, yeah.
And what's the distinction between like autopilot and not feeling a bond? And I feel like actually with my son, it's not that I didn't feel a bond with him right away. I had so much. The way I describe it is honestly like an animal keeping their baby animal alive. Like, I don't know if I experienced love, but I definitely experienced this like animalistic, gonna rip your eyes out if you come near my child kind of thing. And my mom at one point was like, have you told him that you love him? And I was like, no, he's a baby. Like, he doesn't know. But my mom was like, you need to tell him that you love him. And I realized that like 6 weeks had gone by and I never uttered the words, I love you. That's crazy. I was on auto. I think I was just on autopilot of like, keep this thing alive or like I will die. Like, it was just such a crazy experience.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I felt the same way. And it's so funny that you say that about that. I love you, because I have a very vivid memory of putting Lily to bed and not knowing if I had ever told her that.
Oh, and it's like a crappy feeling.
And I like uttered it and I was like, why does that feel so foreign? That shouldn't feel foreign.
It feels weird.
Like, and even talking about it now, like, I obviously know how much I love her and like I'm so bonded to her, but like even talking about it now, I'm like, ooh, like I did that, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
But like, wow, we've come such a long way than like our mothers have when they like they didn't have all these resources. My mom talks about all the time. We didn't have the podcasts and the blogs and the social medias and the Instagrams. We didn't have any of that. Like, we really were on our own little islands. And I feel sad for our moms sometimes.
Yeah, there's a beautiful, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with all of it. There's obviously downfalls, but I have never been more connected to so many moms because of things like this, these podcasts and the resources we have and the social media that we have. And it is a beautiful thing to create community in a world where like this is what we're handed. You know, our circumstances are very different from the generations before us, but the least we can do is utilize them for good.
Yeah.
And if that means creating community among moms, like, all the power to us.
Yeah. Yeah, all the mom group chats out there, keep those babies alive. They are, even if you just pop in and say like, hey, hope everyone has a great day. I did that in all my little mom group chats that I have with all my friends. I'm like, hey, it's a rainy day. Hope everyone has a good day. Like, that's it. And then, you know, it's that point of connection can be so healing for someone who's like on the edge or just feeling like they're holding on by a thread and that they have no one. Like, feeling like they have just a thread of a human that cares about them is everything.
It is. It's feeling seen.
Yeah.
Is what it is. And it takes nothing to make a mom feel seen. Like, a very quick message. Yeah.
Even if like your friends have businesses or podcasts or Instagrams, being like, hey, love what you did. Like, very good. Like, I don't know, just a little bit like seeing them and saying like, you're doing a great job. Like, I love what you did there. Like, it can like change someone's day. I know it changes my day when I get messages like that. So
like, literally happened to me earlier this week, I was feeling so defeated. And you know, running a podcast is so much work. It is so much work.
So much work.
And you don't really see the behind the scenes of it. And one of my friends reached out so randomly and was just like, I just have to tell you, I love what you're doing. Like, I just listened to the most recent podcast. It's so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Like, went on this whole thing. And I was like, you have no idea how much I needed that. Like, I don't know how you knew that I needed that, but like, you knew that I needed that. And it kept me going for like another day, because some days it's like, oh, I just want to give up. It's so much work. And that, like, showing up for people in that way, it can be monumental.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and we all have those days. I feel like anyone that runs their own thing.
Yes.
Like if it's a podcast or whatever hustle you have, like sometimes you have those days where like, I just want to take a break, or I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. But power through, everyone.
You're just gonna, motherhood in general.
You're like, I need a break.
Like, that's why we're here.
Yeah, that's why we're here. So
keeping you going.
How is your heart today? Like how are you today? And then what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. My heart is good. Entrepreneurship is a roller coaster along with motherhood. And so the uneasy feeling of that is something that I'm navigating. And, you know, I do feel like I'm in the flow of things with two children now, which feels really good. My heart is good. I know what my purpose is. It's just, there's a lot that happens in life and a lot of layers to life that can feel overwhelming. And so I think it's just a daily gut check of reminding myself of my worth and that I'm meant to do this. I'm meant to be a mom. I'm meant to do this business. I'm meant to be a good wife and what my values are, and finding little things that keep me going to that next day. So my heart is good. I appreciate you asking.
If I make any video of this, I have to cut my face out, because like, can you hear her? She's like wants to be part. It. She wants the
she
podcast.
Wants to be part of the conversation.
I think my little future podcaster.
Yes.
I thank you for sharing all that. It's like I love that you mentioned you're in a flow with the two kids. Guys, can everybody hear me? Or can you hear the baby?
We love both. We love both.
My God, why are you so loud? And no, it's funny. My son was not like this. My son was very quiet, very, and he's still like pretty quiet, very mellow, very well-mannered.
Yeah.
And she's definitely a lot of personality.
Oh, it looks like we need to get our kids together, because I know, the I was same saying, personality.
I was just thinking, I like wish you lived close, because I would be like, girl, let's meet up like tomorrow, because
seriously,
I want to hang. I love that. I love that. Do you ever, sorry, last question, and then I'll let you go. I'm so sorry. Okay. My question is it feel weird when things are kind of good? Like when you're kind of like in a, because that's where I am right now. Like things are kind of good. And sometimes I'm like looking for an issue.
Well, when you've been through a lot, and I think especially with the circumstances I've been through, I'm always waiting for the shoe to drop. So if things feel good, it's like a protective mechanism for me to be like, okay, but what's coming then? Don't get too excited. Don't get too happy, because we need to protect ourselves from what might be coming. And I'm really trying to break through that, to be honest, because that steals a lot of joy that it shouldn't. It shouldn't have that kind of power over me. But yes, it does feel weird when things are good. You're kind of just like, okay, what's missing? Like, should things feel this good? Do I actually know what I'm doing? Like, you know?
Yeah. No, because it sounds like from what you talked about, it sounds like things are really, really good, and not like in a, oh my gosh, you're living the perfect life, but like that things feel like they're on the, like a good plateau.
Yeah.
And that's encouraging. That's encouraging to hear.
Yeah. I just hope that, you know, if there's mamas listening that do feel like, oh my goodness, how am I going to get through this? Like, there is a light. Like, you will reach it. I say a lot of things, grief being one of them. I like to say that grief is a tunnel and not a cave. Like, you are going through it. You're not like going into the deep and it gets deeper. There is another side to it. And that can go with so many different scenarios in life. And so to just keep going, just keep going.
Grief is a tunnel, not a cave. I love that. Well, yeah. Nikki, thank you. Thank you so
thank
much. You are a very generous guest, providing all the things. And I just love the way, gifted storyteller. So obviously everyone go listen to Moms of the Night.
Moms of the Night.
But I'm not like saying it that way.
But not sexy mom, not like that. Like I'm trying to make it sound like, I don't know if it sounds deep and mysterious and like so powerful. Moms of the Night. We come out at night. I'm just joking. But actually, like, it is really catchy. Like it's very,
thank you.
It's eye-catching. Like eye-catching title, eye-catching cover art. I commend you. That's the heart. Listen,
you.
Are you in marketing? Is that what you do? Agency?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm marketing.
As you know, it's like the most important thing is the cover art and the title and the name. So
it is. It's hard. To be honest with you, I sat with my daughter in the middle of the night one night and wrote up the entire, from the title to the concept to what I wanted episodes to be to the layout and everything in one night, one really rough night. And that's just what came to me. So I ran with it because I was like, it was someone's telling me that this is it. So
yeah, follow like that gut feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Nikki, where can everybody find you? I just sort of told everyone, but you tell us.
Yes. Well, you can find me on Moms of the Night podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also follow on Instagram at Moms of the Night podcast. I post like episode clips there, some mom content, a lot of life and stories, and a lot of things in the DMs. I have so many conversations with moms in direct messages, and it's my way to like really connect with moms all across the world. It's the coolest thing ever. But yeah, if you're looking for an additional space for raw, real conversations, and you need something to get you through those rough nights, come hang with us.
Come hang, peeps. All right, yeah. Nikki. Thank you so much for joining us, and everyone listening. I'll put all of the details in the show notes. So how do I usually end this? Rate, review, subscribe, and stay tuned for the next podcast episode. I don't know, guys. I'm wrangling a very squirmy 4-month-old. So, all right. Bye, Nikki.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the New Mamas Podcast. This podcast was created to help first-time mamas everywhere navigate this new stage of life and talk about the honest and the raw moments in motherhood. I'm your host, Lena Forrestal. I'm a working mom by day and a blogger, photographer, and podcaster by mid-afternoon. And as a first-time mom myself, I'm on this journey with you. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And if you did, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. You can donate to the show at buymeacoffee.com/newmamaspodcast. Stay in touch by following us on Instagram at New Mamas Podcast and Lena Forrestal. Thanks again, and stay tuned next week for the next episode. Bye!